acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 42, Literal Interpretation. Tuesday, June 17th, 2014. I'm your host, Sarah, podcasting from Yinhu Chaoyuan, Silver Lake Tea House. Show notes for this episode can be found on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. You can find me as Sarah Pomegranate on Instagram, Twitter, and Ravelry. The Yarns at Yin Hu podcast has a Facebook page, and it's available on iTunes. Today's episode features the following segments: Yarn Lover at Large, The Back Porch, Ever Expanding Skill Set, The Front Porch, and Double Happiness. I've received messages from quite a few Yarns at Yin Hu listeners following episode 41, which featured an interview with Patricia of BZB Fibers. Thank you for your comments and your feedback about that show and the many very complimentary things you've said about Patricia and her shop. I'd like to thank Jacqueline Malengi and Lara Moody for leaving comments on the Yarns at Yin Hu blog, Maggie Vienna, Rachel Dash, Marianne H. All left comments on the Ravelry discussion thread, Linda Thompson, 23, Ozzy 5111, Bella Sox, Coop Comp, and the Rachel left comments on Instagram, Amy Trixie Bernhard on Facebook, and LK Memphis and Between the Raindrops have also said hello since the last episode. I really appreciate your comments on the show, your feedback, and your encouragement. It means a lot. So thank you everyone who's been in touch with me recently. Yarn Lover at Large. Saturday was Worldwide Knit in Public Day, and the holiday extends over the course of the week. Have you been knitting in public? Where did you go? Was it your usual spot, or did you try somewhere different? I don't usually do that much knitting in public, but on Saturday, I decided to join in a very large event that was happening at Bryant Park in Midtown Manhattan. Samuel and his band, Bovine Social Club, were playing in Kips Bay much later that night, so I decided to go into the city early and take part in the Worldwide Knit in Public Day event that was happening in Bryant Park. In case you're not incredibly familiar with Manhattan geography, this is the park that sits right next to the New York Public Library. In the winter time, there is a man-made ice rink there, which a lot of people find preferable to the skating that happens near Rockefeller Center. It also has the best restrooms of any city park, according to Nitty City's website. I guess the event is sort of sponsored by Nitty City, which is a yarn shop uptown. They had several tables set aside near the statue of Gertrude Stein, and they draped a Nitty City orange scarf around the Gertrude Stein statue, which was really cute. I didn't know anyone there, so I was just kind of looking for some friendly-looking people to sit near, and I ended up sitting down with the Pints and Pearls meetup group. That's a citywide meetup for knitters. They typically meet at bars and pubs in Manhattan, Brooklyn, all around. and enjoy some beverages and do some knitting. They were very amiable, and I met some really super great people. They're not incredibly active on Ravelry. It's a meetup group, as I said, so I might have to look them up in the future and see if I can crash again. I took two projects to work on, and I worked steadily on them the entire time and even beyond the appointed hours for the event. I just kept knitting and working on my projects. I even managed to work on some beading. I took a little bowl for beads, and I took my crochet hook and my pattern, and I worked on putting a few beads on a shawl. I'll talk about that a little bit more in a later segment. Overall, it was a fantastic experience. It was beautiful weather, so it was the perfect spring Saturday in New York. It seemed like everyone wanted to be outside in the sun or in the shade in a park having some great food, and it was great to be among the New Yorkers. The back porch. In the previous episode, I didn't talk very much about projects that I was working on or things that I had completed. So in this episode, I have quite a few finished objects to talk about. The first is Shield Maiden. This is a pattern written by Emily of the Fibertown podcast. The design is a rather narrow shawl with a cabled border, and then you pick up stitches to knit the body of the shawl, and there are yarn overs to create the design of a lucette. And I had talked in a previous episode about it being Viking inspired and being a very powerful kind of garment. I decided to try a new to me yarn, which is unspun Icelandic yarn. It's kind of like a very, very narrow bit of roving. And Icelandic wool is a very long staple wool, so it holds together even though there's no twist on the yarn. And I had purchased this on a recent trip to Vermont, where I bought it at Green Mountain Fibers in Rutland, Vermont. I decided that the unspun Icelandic would look great in the Shield Maiden pattern, and it would allow me to enter the project in the Island Wool Knit Along, being sponsored by Sarah of the Fiber Trek podcast. And having met both Emily and Sarah at Maryland Sheep and Wool, I thought this was the perfect combination. I'm really pleased with the way the unspun Icelandic looks in the Shield Maiden pattern. I was worried that since the yarn isn't round at all and doesn't have any twist, that there wouldn't be very much stitch definition, but you can easily detect the cabled border and the design features of the pattern. Overall, I would say the shawl has a kind of a rustic look, but I think that's appropriate for the design. I learned from Kathleen, the owner of Green Mountain Fibers, that the unspun Icelandic comes on very large spools, and at the shop, she winds it off into the discs that she then packages and sells. And I think that she must have a heavy hand with yardage when it comes to packaging this yarn, because I bought two packages of the yarn, seeing that it was about 300 yards per package, and knowing from Emily's pattern that I would need about 360 yards to complete it. I'm also a rather loose knitter, and this is not the type of yarn that you can work very tightly because you'll rip it apart. So I thought I would probably be pretty generous with the amount of yarn that I was using, and that I would need two packages. Well, I didn't even open the second package, and there is still some left from the first. So I'm not sure if that is a feature of the wool or if Kathleen was just very generous with her packaging or if I was stretching the fiber a little bit as I was knitting. I really don't know. I don't have that much experience with an unspun Icelandic. But what I do know is that being left with a second package, I thought I would make a contribution to the Island Wool Knit Along and offer up that ice blue, which is it's like a very bright cobalt blue, unspun Icelandic as a prize so that someone else can give it a try and see what they think of this yarn. Just to recap, that is Shield Maiden by Emily Estrada of Fibertown Designs. The second pattern I completed was given to me as a gift from Claire. It is Drizzle by Mel, who's Melski of the Single Handed Knits podcast. It's a pattern I had in my queue for a while, and it's a very versatile hat. I think depending on the kind of yarn you use, it could be a nice summer hat to throw on your head after the beach, or it could be a very warm hat that you could wear in winter. It's primarily stockinette, has a rolled brim, and there is a very interesting lace section, midsection, which gives it some nice pizzazz. You can make the hat very slouchy or just moderately slouchy. That is Drizzle by Melski of Single Handed Knits. The next completed pattern is Clincher. I have been working on this since mid-April. It's a pattern by Ash Kearns. It uses an entire skein of sock yarn. Wildly colored sock yarn works very well, and then it uses a small amount of a contrasting color yarn. This is a fantastic pattern for purse knitting, social knitting. Its pattern is easily memorized. You're working on long stretches of ribbing. And then, when you're all finished with that and you've used up an entire skein of sock yarn, then you sit very quietly and work very intently, making I-cord loops at one end of the scarf. And these loops are a design feature of the pattern because then you can pull the narrow end of the scarf around. You can pull it through all of the loops, you can pull it through some of the loops, and you create yourself a loose cowl or a very snug cowl. Depending on the yarn you use, this could also be a great pattern for a male or a female recipient. I've seen some great examples of this pattern knit up on Ravelry. In particular, I like the combination of black and white for the body of the scarf, and then red loops for the edging. It's really striking. Again, this is Clincher by Ash Kearns, a very versatile pattern and one that's great for using up a skein of sock yarn and turning it into something really striking and special. Finally, I have completed a barley hat. This is a pattern. It's available free on Ravelry by Tin Can Knits, and this is from a collection that is great for beginning knitters, but certainly provides some quality pieces for very experienced knitters as well. The barley hat works up very quickly because you use worsted weight yarn and size 6 and 8 needles, and it's a mostly stockinette hat, has a ribbed edging, and then it's worked in stockinette with a section that is done in garter stitch. I really liked the way the decreases worked for this hat because I learned by knitting the pattern, I learned how to keep a certain stitch pattern going as you make decreases for the top of a hat. So it didn't just shift to stockinette to make things easier as you did the decreases at the top. You kept working that garter stitch section. So for me, being a beginner and learning how patterns are created and how designs work, this was very informative and instructional for me to knit this design. I started this hat on the bus on the way into New York City on Saturday, and I was about 80% finished with the hat by the time I left New York that evening, and just finished up the decreases on Sunday morning and finished the hat. I think this would be a great hat for charity knitting, for gift giving, for kids, men, women, teenagers. I think everyone looks great in this hat. It is the Barley Hat by Tin Can Knits. Ever expanding skill set. Usually I talk about the ever expanding skill set in terms of my culinary adventures. This week, my ever expanding skill set has to do with including beads in your knitting. I have only done this a couple of times, once with a shawl design that had suggested bead placement in the pattern, and several times knitting up a bracelet design by Laura Nelkin. This is the first time I've encountered a pattern and I've wanted to add beads to the pattern on my own. And now that I have added the beads, I'm thinking that, I don't know, I may be too self-critical, but I'm thinking that the way I added beads is like a too literal interpretation of the design. And the design is Fireflies Rising. This is by Helen Stewart. She's the host of Curious Handmade podcast, an incredibly charming podcast host. And I've been catching up on older episodes and heard about the Fireflies Rising design. She's already hosted a knit along, that's all done. There are numerous photographs of beautiful shawls up on Ravelry, and I decided that I would like to try knitting up this shawl. I've decided on Pagewood Farm Glacier Bay yarn in the camo colorway and US 5 and 6 needles as called for in the pattern. I really like this Pagewood Farm yarn. It's a 3-ply yarn, superwash merino. It's very high twist, very rounded yarn, which makes the stitches in the pattern stand out very beautifully. Also, the color, I feel, is very suitable for this pattern called Fireflies Rising because it reminds me of very hot August evenings with dried grasses and fireflies lifting out of them and blinking in the nighttime, and everything's kind of hazy, lazy. It's all very poetic. And then add my literal interpretation, which is I thought it would be kind of interesting if the fireflies had beads added to the abdomen section to make them look like fireflies that were actually blinking. But I didn't want to add the beads to every firefly in this lace design. And I should say, the pattern is written such that there's a lace design that is reminiscent of fireflies. There are yarn overs that create a kind of wings and stitches that outline the shape of a firefly. By adding beads to the abdomen part, I think I'm making it look more literal, whereas the design is quite abstract. But anyway, I decided that I was going to add beads on my own. So in rows 87 and 93 of the pattern, which, by the way Helen Stewart writes her patterns is so wonderful because it's written out in a table. Every row has its own directions. Every row has a stitch count total. And it also tells you in this pattern what percentage you are done. So you're working along, and then at row, 23, you'll find, for example, you're 5% done with the pattern. So I love the way the pattern is written. It makes me want to knit other things by Helen Stewart if this is a pattern design that she uses all of the time. But it allowed me to think very carefully about where I would add the beads because I could see at a glance what the structure of the stitches would be. In rows 87 and 93, I added beads to alternating fireflies, so every other firefly in the pattern. And I decided to add two beads rather than one because proportionally that looked more like the abdomen of a firefly. And I thought that would be kind of realistic because when you look at a field of fireflies, not everyone is lighting up at the same time. They're kind of blinking. So putting beads on alternating parts of the design would give it that blinking, shimmering effect, and just a little bit of beading rather than, oh, that's a shawl with a lot of beads on it. I wanted it to be kind of subtle. I use the crochet hook method of adding beads to my knitting. I have a small bowl that's a dipping sauce bowl, and I add my beads to the bowl, and then that makes it very easy for me to reach in with my crochet hook and put a bead on it, and then slip the stitch off of my left needle, add the bead, and then I repeat that. I found it was easier for me to add one bead at a time rather than to load two beads onto my crochet hook and then try to pull them both through that yarn. I was having a very easy time doing this. It was one of the projects I brought with me to knit in Bryant Park. I just set my bowl on the table and I was applying my beads in one of the rows, and it went very easily, and the beads sit very nicely on the stitch. I have not completed this shawl pattern, so hopefully the next time I record, I will have completed the knitting and blocked the shawl, and I will have a much more considered opinion about how my decisions have added to or detracted from the look of the shawl. In any case, I am very much liking Helen Stewart's design, Fireflies Rising. It's a really fun pattern to knit. The knitting is going very quickly, and I'm looking forward to seeing the finished product. The front porch. On the front porch are two summer crafting events. Stash Dash 2014 and Tour de Fleece. I'll talk a little bit more about Tour de Fleece in an upcoming podcast, but right now I am in the midst of trying to win Stash Dash. This is a summer event hosted by the Knit Girls, Laura and Leslie, and the goal is a personal goal to knit 5,468 yards from your stash by mid-August. It's the equivalent of a 5K. Currently, I have 1,606 yards complete. You can do this by spinning, knitting, knitting with spun yarn, weaving, crocheting, anything to use up your stash. I've started planning some projects in anticipation of knitting up the desired 5K of yarn, and I created a project page on Ravelry where I've listed the different kinds of projects, and then when I complete them, I put in the amount of yardage that I used to complete the project. I've also used an asterisk to mark projects that are currently in the works, And I keep adjusting, thinking about what I will work on and when by the end of the event, which is mid-August. Another thing that I've created a project page for is not really on the front porch anymore because I've already completed this, but the Mustache podcast hosts a stash flash, and they are encouraging all of their listeners to use the summertime to get organized. For a while, I've thought I was very organized because I don't have a very big stash. But when I really started thinking about it, even though I don't have a lot of yarn and fiber, it was still a mess and disorganized, and I really needed to work on it. So it took me a few hours on a Saturday morning to completely go through all of my office area where I have yarn and fiber stored, and also fiber tools and things related to the podcast. The second story of my house is all one room, and in a small corner of it is my office and studio area. Last summer, I decided that I needed to use some of my bookshelving for yarn and fiber storage, and so I removed one section of books from my shelves and I consolidated. I gave things away, I donated them to a local charity, and then I kept that section of the bookcase for storage. So in that morning, I kind of reorganized everything, cleaned off all the shelving, came up with some storage systems that work a little better than what I was doing before, and I took photographs of everything. So if you're wondering about my stash, or maybe a little bit more about the interior of Yin Hu, you can look on my Ravelry project page for a stash flash project. And I have a number of photographs there and then captions of what I did to reorganize and rearrange. I'm really looking forward to summer time for crafting and for having more time to spend on projects and being a little bit more leisurely about how I proceed. Double happiness. I really enjoy seeing films in a theater as opposed to watching them at home. But it's rare that I will see a film more than once when it comes out. The exception is a new film called Chef. I first saw it because it opened the Montclair Film Festival in early May, and when it came to our local cinema, I knew I had to see it again. It's also a film about one of my favorite topics, which is food, and the food styling and food scenes in the movie are very well done. That could be because Roy Choi, who is the guy behind the Kogi Korean barbecue food trucks, was a consultant to the film and had a lot to say about how food was handled and how situations in kitchens were handled. I really can't recommend the film highly enough. It's a great feel-good summertime film. It's a lot of fun, but it also has some quality messages to it. The end is just the slightest bit cheesy, but the rest of the film is so good that it didn't even bother me. If you are interested in food, you will want to see this film, and I also recommend that you listen to the episode of Good Food on KCRW. It's one of my favorite podcasts, and I've mentioned it on my show before. Evan Kleiman is the host. She ran for a long time a restaurant in Santa Monica, and she does excellent interviews with her guests. Both Jon Favreau, who's the star of the film and who wrote and directed the film, and Roy Choi are guests on her show, and they talk about how the film handles situations that are usually done quite poorly when films focus on restaurants and food. I have linked to the Good Food podcast on the show blog. I also invite Yarns at Yinhu listeners, since it's wildcard month for our Bulk Bins cook along, to feel free to post anything about a movie featuring food that you really like, anything about a food truck dining experience, anything having to do with food. Since we're doing a wild card, let's throw out all the rules and make a lot of posts about anything having to do with film, TV shows, blogs, food trucks, anything to get that conversation going on the Bulk Bins Cook Along thread for June.
Acorns are dropping off my Jenny's house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Thanks for listening. Music for this episode is Sweet, music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Chris DeLong and Cesar Diaz. If you enjoyed today's episode, you might consider liking the show's Facebook page or leaving a rating or a review on iTunes. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
Sycamore trees are blazing like a rainbow fire, just like Linda Curtis, but out on a wire. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Nature's ever get you high till your face is smile. Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine. Nature. Thing.